How many of you remember the special Christmas gift you got 5 years ago on Christmas? You remember the very special gift you got 5 years ago on Christmas? Raise your hand if you remember that. Y'all got good memories. How many of you remember the day you received the greatest gift of His dear Son in your life? You remember that? Praise God. Does that tell you something about the value of that gift? Thank God for it. Thank you so much, Miss Tracy. Thank y'all for that wonderful song this morning. Again, choir and Brother Danny. Several years ago, my wife and I were out, and it may have even been when we were in Tennessee Temple. But it was Christmas time, and we were in somewhere looking at things, of buying gifts or whatever. And off to the side, I saw this little boy, and he was there, and there was a section, had some manger scenes or something. And he was saying, "Mommy, look, Mommy, look, Mommy, look." And she reached over and grabbed me. She said, "Come on, we don't have time for that Jesus stuff. We got a lot to do." Boy, that broke my heart. She disappeared into the crowd. How many people across our country is just like that around Christmas time? They don't have time for that Jesus stuff. But I'm glad He's real. Amen. Thank God He's real every day, not just at Christmas. He's real this morning. Again, welcome to all our friends in the radio audience. And I am conscious of our time this morning. I know I took a little time doing what I was doing. I've got the trusty watch on this morning. And so I'm going to share with you just something real quick this morning as God blesses us together. I want you to turn your Bibles, please, back to the book of Matthew this morning. There's a lot of sayings around that you see at Christmas time. One, believe. Believe. You see that everywhere. Believe. Believe in the magic of Christmas. Believe in the miracle of Christmas. The miracle of Christmas, of course, is the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That may not be what they're talking about, but that's what I think about. I think about the miracle of the virgin birth. I think about the miracle of the new birth when a person gets saved by the grace of God and the Emmanuel, God with us, comes into our heart to live for all eternity. Another saying you see around Christmas all the time, talking about the spirit of Christmas. And I'm not sure exactly what spirit they're talking about. I think they're talking about the spirit of joy or the spirit of giving. And that we've just talked about a little bit, about that spirit of giving. And it is a wonderful spirit around Christmas time. It is that joy that the Bible says, and the angel said, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For in you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And another little thing you see a lot of times around this time of the year is this: He's the reason for the season. Among Christians particularly, He's called the reason. Jesus is the reason for the season. Well, as I prayed about just something as God would have me to preach and beginning towards Christmas season, I got to thinking, what's the reason for Jesus? If He's the reason for the season, what's the reason for the Savior? And so last Sunday, we looked at a passage of Scripture, and I'll repeat just a little bit this morning, just kind of touch bases. But go back to the book of Matthew, and let me read this to you. For the sake of time, I'll not read the lengthy passage of Scripture, but verse 21. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us." Thank God that He came, Jesus, to be a Savior. But notice, if you will, please, now turn over to the book of Luke, that wonderful passage of Scripture that we read so often. And I, again, encourage you to read all these narratives about the birth of our Lord around Christmas time, and read them privately, and read them with your family, and be reminded of the wonderful truths that's in this passage of Scripture. And in chapter number 1, though, I want you to look and notice what it says. As He's speaking to Mary. And I'll begin reading with verse number 28. "And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." And thank the Lord for that. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Spirit of God would speak. And as Brother Brad's prayed earlier, God, not just words, but I pray for that anointing that'll make the difference. I pray, God, you'd speak to hearts. God, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad, God, you came to me and you spoke to me. I'm glad for that greatest Christmas tree of all. Thank you, our Father, that God, Lord, you loved us and died for us. And our Father, during this time, I know everybody's busy. And God, it's a good time to be with our families. It's a good time, our Father, to have get-togethers and decorate. And Lord, you know my heart. I enjoy a bit of it. And God, I pray that, God, during those days that we're all, Lord, continue to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ, give us opportunities to witness. And God, help us now, once again, our Father, to be thankful for the greatest gift of all, your dear Son, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. What's the reason for the Savior? Last Sunday, I said, you know, what I say and what others say and what theologians say, not really all that important sometimes. But if we want to know the answer to that one question, what's the reason for Jesus? If he's the reason for the season, what's the reason for Jesus? Why don't we ask him? And so we go through the Bible, and you'll notice that over and over again, he says this little phrase, I am come. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 5, verse 17, we found out he said, I've come to fulfill the law and the prophets. And that was stated for us also in the book of Matthew by the angel. He came to fulfill the law and the prophets. That is, he came to satisfy all the righteous demands of the law, but he came also to have all the execution of judgment of the law put upon himself. He paid all of my sin debt, all of your sin debt. He came to do all those things. But also, we learn in Matthew as well, in chapter number 9, verse 13, he said, I've come to call sinners to repentance. And we looked at that, and God, the Holy Spirit, spoke to my heart as it did yours, that call is not a call to judgment, but to cleansing. It's not a call to condemnation, but to cleansing. And he's called, much like a shepherd's call, he said, I've come to plead with them. It's not a denunciation. It's not him dooming those. They're condemned already. But it's a call to turn from their sin and turn to the Savior. Turn from death, turn to light. Turn from darkness, turn to light. And my dear friend, to turn from guilt to forgiveness, and to turn from sadness and sorrow and weeping and wailing and hell for all eternity to rejoicing forever in heaven. Boy, that's a good deal, isn't it? And that's a pleading call. It's a passionate call. It is a proficient call. It's a powerful call. It's called the effectual call of God. He said, and he spoke to us and he drawed us. He drew us by the Holy Spirit of God. And thank God for that. And he came to call us. Boy, listen, aren't you glad he called you? Say amen. Hey, I heard his voice. I not audibly, but in my spirit, I heard him when he spoke to me. I've been in a lot of services. You've been in a lot of services, but in one particular service, God spoke to me. He called sinners to repentance. And then I showed you in Matthew chapter number 18 and verse 11. He said this, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. And thank God he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And then lastly, in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, he said this, I've come to give my life a ransom. Turn over to Luke chapter 4, please. He came to give his life a ransom. Let's see further why he said he came. Why? What's the reason for Jesus? Why did he come? In Luke chapter 4, look at verse number 14, and this is what he said. And Jesus returned the power of the Spirit unto Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted and preach deliverance to the captive and the recovering of sight to the blind and set at liberty them that are bruised and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and he sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Why did he come? He said in this passage of Scripture, he came to preach and to proclaim. The Lord Jesus Christ came to preach and proclaim. What was he preaching and what was he proclaiming? He was preaching in this passage of Scripture. He said, I've come to preach to them the gospel to the poor. He said he sent me to heal brokenhearted. He's preached me to preach deliverance to the captive and the recovering of sight to the blind and to set at liberty those that are bruised and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He came, the Savior came to announce what he was doing. He came to let them know why he came and to call them to himself. Thank God, listen, he said in this passage of Scripture, I've come to preach the gospel to the poor. Now, some people equate being in poverty different than other places. In our country, what's considered by our government to be poverty level. And there are some very, very poor people in our country, no doubt. But that poverty level in America, in the Philippines, they'd be living in high cotton. I'm telling you. But this word poor doesn't mean monetarily poor. It has this idea, it is total bankruptcy. It is those who have absolutely no good thing in them. It is those who have absolutely total poverty in regard to righteousness. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. He said, I've come to call those who know they don't have any hope, who have no hope and no righteousness and no goodness whatsoever. He said, I've come to them to preach them good news. And what is that good news? That you can go in. You don't have to have money. You don't have to have position. You don't have to have education. That anybody can go in. Thank God he came to proclaim that. That's what the gospel is all about. Anybody can come. Anybody can be saved. And he said this, I've come to heal the brokenhearted. Thank God. You know what the Bible said? Several years ago, going through a very difficult time, God the Holy Ghost brought me to a verse in the Bible. And here's what it said, that he's nigh unto them that are broken heart. There's something about the nature of our God that's drawn to brokenhearted people. If you're going through a time of heartache, if you're going through a time of brokenness, I want you to know he's close to you. He comes to you. He's nigh unto you. And he said this, there's a healing for that broken heart. You know how you do that? You give him all the pieces. If you give him all the pieces of that broken heart, he'll put it back together again. And he said, I've not only come to do that, but I've also come to give sight to the blind, to help us to see spiritual things, see the truth of what's real and what's not real, to help us see. A lot of times people go through times of devastation or trouble, and like when a hurricane comes through and it wipes out everything they got, invariably you'll hear somebody say something like this. In a time like this, you understand what's really important, and that is that we are alive. All this can be replaced, but we're here and we still got our family. We understand. We got a new vision. And he said, I've come to give sight so people can understand what's really, really important. And that is that they know me and that they live for all eternity in a place called heaven. But then notice what he said. He said, I've come to set at liberty them that are bruised. Now that word bruised, that's not the bruise of a fall. That's the bruise of an assault. It is those who are under domination, whether it is some habit or whatever it is. It's these who've been oppressed, those people who have been bondaged. They've been in shackles to sin and to self and to Satan. And he said, I've come to set them free. And thank God, whatever it is has you bound, whether it's a drug habit or a lifestyle or whatever, he said, I've come to set you free. It's beat and battered you till you're bruised and bludgeoned, but he said, I'm going to set you free. And he came to give that announcement. Now, if I came and said I was going to do that, it wouldn't do you any good. But here he came. He came out of heaven and he came down to say, I can heal your broken heart. He came out of heaven to say, I've got good news for you who are poverty in spiritual poverty. He said, I've got good news to you who are spiritually blind. I can open your eyes and help you to see. I've come to set at liberty those of you who are bound. He can set you free. And he came to do that. And he said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. Thank the Lord for that. Turn over to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. How's he going to accomplish that purpose? He read to them from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, the prophet, refers to the Lord Jesus Christ as he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Isaiah, in the Old Testament, 700 years before Christ ever came, he understood how he was going to accomplish all of those things, how he'd heal the brokenhearted, how he'd give liberty to those that are bruised, how he'd preach the gospel to the poor. He said, I know how he's going to do that. And he gave it in Isaiah. But here in the book of Hebrews, it is listed for us once again in Hebrews chapter 10, and look at verse number 1. And the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comer thereof perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because the worshiper, once purged from, should have no more conscience of sin. But in these sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Wherefore, because it was not possible that then any sacrifice could take away sin, not the sacrifice of animal's blood, not self-sacrifice, not abusing your own flesh, not adhering to the law, There's no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. Wherefore, because of that, why did he come? What's the reason for the Savior? Because there's no other way to take away sin. Wherefore, when he cometh unto the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me in burnt offerings and in sacrifice for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he saith, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings made for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God, to take away the first, that I might that he may establish the second, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once for all. And every high priest standeth daily ministering, offering oft times the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemy made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Why did Jesus come? Here's what he says in this passage of Scripture. He said, I came because there was no way that sacrifice of animals could take away sin. There's nothing that could take away sin. In the omniscience, all-knowing, all-knowing mind of God, there's nothing that could satisfy and take away sin except the sacrifice of his own dear son. How wicked it is to say that baptismal waters can wash away your sins. How wicked it is to say that by living by a code of ethics, it could take away sin. How wicked it is to say that by living according to the letter of the law, that we can be justified before God. Paul said, it is evident that by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight. Why did he come? What's the reason for the season? The reason is he was the only hope. He's the only sacrifice for sin. And he said this, therefore you prepared me a body. I walked in this morning, I saw the lighted manger scene, and I saw this replica of the manger and of Christ. And that little baby there, you know, and I, when we think about that manger, we think about those beautiful little hands. And when we did the passion play, the couple that had the little baby, quite often I see that little hand come out of that blanket to touch its mother's face. But when God fashioned that body in the womb of Mary, he didn't fashion it just to touch the face of Mary or to steal the sea or to touch the leper and make him clean. He made those hands to be pierced with nails, to be a sacrifice for my sin and for your sin. And those little feet, we always take the little feet. And I remember when our children were born, I'd rub their little feet and count their toes. Virginia said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm just looking at the little toes. Those little feet that would walk on dusty roads to go and feed 5,000. Those feet that would travel to the tomb of Lazarus and call him forth out of death to life. He didn't make them just to go around and heal and to resurrect and to feed. He made those feet to be nailed on that cross for your sin and for my sin. That beautiful brow, that sinless brow of that Savior, he didn't make it to be kissed with a sweet kiss of a mother. He didn't make it to radiate the glow of God. He made it for a crown. And all the curse, the Bible said, cursed is everyone that hangs on a cross. And the Bible said, when Adam sinned, God cursed the ground for Adam's sake, and it brought forth thorns. And God took that curse off the ground and put it on the brow of his son. And he bore our curse on that cross. Why the Savior? He's the reason for the season. He didn't come to live. He came to give his body a sacrifice for sin. He came to give his hands and his feet and his side. But he came to give his blood. That blood that coursed through the blood, body of that baby. It was unique blood. You know that the Father determines that blood type, and he didn't have an earthly father. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that blood that coursed through his human body, was unique in all the world. Herod declared it to be innocent blood. I betrayed, and Lazarus said, this is innocent blood. I find no fault in him. I find no fault in him. Judas said, I have betrayed the innocent blood. Why? Because the Bible said the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that blood that coursed through that little body that gave him warmth, gave him life. On that cross, the blood drained out of his body, and he died. He gave his body to die for us. He came a sacrifice. Notice this, once for all. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. I don't know about you. I like Christmas. I get tired. I think the older I get, the tireder I get. We were talking about Lynn, I think, and we were talking about I save all the people who sent us pictures. I got pictures of Andrew back here when he wasn't big as his dog, and now he's a big boy. And I got a picture of little bitty babies. And Ben back here got a picture of little bitty Ben when he was a little bitty fella. And to watch him grow and see him grow, all that's a blessing to me. But when I think about the reason for the season, and I see that little baby and understand that little baby came. He made him a body. He said here, you've made me a body to be a sacrifice. Thank God for that. He gave his life a ransom. I don't have time to finish all that I want to share with you this morning, but go back to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. He said, I've come to preach. What did he come to preach? He came to preach his own death. He came to preach his own funeral. He came to announce that I can deliver you. I can give you sight. I can heal your broken heart. But they'll have to pierce my heart in order for that to happen. He said, I can heal you. I can deliver you. But they'll have to pierce my hands and pierce my feet for that to happen. And I'm willing to do that. It's good news. John chapter 10. If I was to ask him, Lord, what's the reason for your coming? If you're the reason for the season, what's the reason for the Savior? Notice what he said in John chapter 10 and verse number 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He came so you could have life. He came so you could be born again. You know what that says to me? Number one, it says this, that being born physically does not guarantee you life. You don't have real life just because you're existing. You have real life only through the Lord Jesus Christ. I've come that they might have life. That has to do with your birth. It has to do with becoming a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. And he talked to Nicodemus about being born again by the grace of God. He gave you life. That has to do with your being and being born again and becoming a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. And you can do that today. Anybody in the sound of my voice, internet, radio audience, and here in this building, the reason for the season is Jesus, and the reason for Jesus is so you could have life, so you could be born again by the grace of God, so you can have everlasting life and live forever in a place called heaven, and thank God for that. He came that you could be saved. But this beyond that, he said, I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. God wanted you, listen, people say, I don't want to trust Jesus because I got too many things I want to do to make me happy. I'm going to do this and that. I want to be happy. Do you understand that the reason he came is so you could have real joy, so you could have real peace, so you could have real happiness, have everlasting life, no regrets in the morning, no regrets at the cemetery, and live forever in a place called heaven? And he said, beyond that being born again and your new life, he said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I'm going to tell you right now, the happiest people in the world are Christians, those who have the joy of the Lord. That doesn't mean we don't have problems. Doesn't mean we don't have sickness. Doesn't mean we go through a difficult time. But listen, he said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I looked up that word. I know that's a big word, abundantly. I mean, I knew it was it meant, you know, good things. But when I got to looking the word up, boy, you know what it means? It means far more than sufficient. God gave us far more than sufficient. The Lord told Paul, he said, my grace is sufficient. But Paul found out his grace is much more than just sufficient. It's much more than that. I tell you, it's far more than just sufficient. He can give you far more than just sufficient grace. He can give you grace beyond your wildest imaginations. He can give you peace beyond your wildest imaginations. He can give you joy beyond your wildest imagination. I mean, abundant, above and beyond. He can give you more than. It's kind of like what he talked about in the Old Testament. Pressed down, pressed together, and running over. He said, I can give you peace running over. I can give you joy running over. I can give you blessings running over. I can give you forgiveness running over. More than you need, much more than you need. And thank God for that. He came to give you much more than you need, much more grace than you need, much more peace than you need, much more joy than you need. And you can have it at Christmas time if you have Christ. Only if you have Christ, if you know Him as your Savior and your Lord. Will you bow with me for prayer? He's the reason for the season. What's the reason for the Savior? What is the reason for the Savior? He came in the passage of Scripture we read to you this morning. He came to preach and proclaim deliverance and the gospel and healing and binding up of the brokenhearted and setting at liberty those that are bruised. He came because there's no other remedy for sin, and God prepared Him a human body that He might suffer and bleed and die for us. He came to fulfill the will of the Father. And lastly, He came that we might have life and might have it more abundantly. My dear friend, thank God for that abundant life. Thank God you can have it. You can be saved, but He can give you far more than that. There'll be a lot of people in this Christmas season who anticipated it with great joy, and they'll go out of it with great disappointment because they thought that the lights and the festivities that they remembered as children would give them lasting joy and peace, and it will not. But there is joy and peace. There is that gift that keeps on giving life and more abundantly. I had you to raise your hand a while ago if you remember that greatest gift of all you ever received. Some of you have been saved in this building 50 years. Not be very long now. I'll be preaching 45 years, 48 years, I believe my wife said the other day, something like that. And He's been good to me. But from the very time I've been saved, you know what I found out? That there's always plenty of grace. Whatever I faced, it was more abundant. His grace was more abundant than my need. His supply was more abundant than my need. He's met my needs abundantly. He's been good to me. He's forgiven my sin, purged me, given me everlasting life, and He'll do the same thing for you. I wonder this morning, you say, Brother Billy, how in the world could I get all that? How could I do that? Do you understand that God orchestrated this whole thing? That God planned this before the foundation of the world, that men and women, boys and girls, could by simple faith and accepting what His Son did on the cross, receive all the great benefits of that sacrificial death by faith. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And now by simple faith, will you receive that gift? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Will you receive it? Will you accept it this morning? Would you accept that free gift? Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank You. God, it's been a blessing to be in Your house today. God, I'm glad about the excitement of this time of the year. Thank You for the way the choir sang this morning. God used them. Brother Brad, thank You for the good congregational singing and for touching Brother Danny, God, for that, Lord, very powerful song that he sang. Thank You, Lord, for touching Brother Craig and Tracy this morning and speaking to our heart for that greatest Christmas tree of all was Calvary. Lord Jesus, You're the reason for the season. And God, I think I see in the Word of God the reason for the Savior. Our Father, we'd all be lost and in hell today if You'd not loved us before the foundation of the world, planned before we ever got here to let Your Son suffer and bleed and die for us. God, we've not been good servants. God, we've not honored You and worshiped You like we ought to all the time.
But God, you accomplished in your will and purpose. Because you came to seek and to save that which was lost. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for loving us. God, help us somehow during this time of the year to make that message clear to friends and neighbors and family. God, that others might know the joy of life and the more abundant life that's available, far more than we'll ever need in every area and realm of life. God, you're able. While we're here in this quiet moment, I'm not going to have you stand this morning. I'm going to be seated for a moment. Brother Brad's going to sing a verse of a song, one verse. And right now, right where you are, will you receive that greatest gift of all? Will you, in this moment, Holy Ghost of God spoke to your heart about the reason for the Savior. He knew you couldn't do it. He knew you couldn't save yourself. He knew you couldn't live good enough to go to heaven. He knew that. That's why he came. It's impossible for religious activities and shedding of animals' blood to take away sin. He knew that. And so he came that you might have life. He came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He wants to save you. You don't have to talk him into it, but you have to receive him right now. Will you do that? Will you pray this simple prayer with me? Believe with all your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. God, I confess before you that I'm a sinner. Can't save myself. But God, I believe that you gave your son, the Lord Jesus, and I believe he bore all my sin on that cross. I believe he suffered, bled, and died, and he rose. He's alive now. Lord Jesus, come in my heart. I receive you now as my Savior. And Lord, I believe that you died to save me. Save me right now. Give me everlasting life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving me and for dying for me. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving me life and life more abundant.